One of the many things that I know about God, many things, not all things, not everything, did you catch that? But many things that I know about God is this, His Holy Spirit. We're talking about that this morning. His Holy Spirit lives in me. I know this. His Holy Spirit lives in me. His Holy Spirit is faithful to lead me. There was never a time where I needed leading into doing what God wanted me to do, and the Holy Spirit says, I come back in 10 minutes. I'm taking a little nap. I'm watching the game. Come back. Never. So the Holy Spirit has always been faithful to lead me. Holy Spirit has always been faithful to correct me. Can I hear an amen? Anybody again been corrected by the Holy Spirit? Right? All right. So Holy Spirit is faithful to lead me, to correct me, and to empower me to do God's will. If we think, if you think, if we believe, if you believe that you can accomplish, matter of fact, everyone just kind of turn back and look at that banner back there. It says Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Those were the words that Jesus recited, but those words come from the book of Isaiah. When Jesus said that in the temple, he said that. Then later he said, meaning that prophecy from Isaiah has been fulfilled, and Jesus was the one fulfilled it. Now, I always look at that verse and say, Lord Jesus, you started that, and you want us to continue to do this. I mean, there are people who are lost that don't know Jesus. So guess what? We who are believers need to preach the gospel. And I've also heard it this way. Preach the gospel, use words if necessary. But I always have to go back to the fact that the word of God, it will never fade away. It will always remain. God will always remain, and God's word will always remain. So there are people who need to hear the gospel. How many of you have ever been brokenhearted or know someone brokenhearted? I mean, the Lord is sending us. So as Jesus said this, Luke 4, 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, preach restoration of sight to the blind, liberate those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Every Tuesday when I pray that and I put my hand on that banner and I pray, Lord, you are anointing hidden treasures to do this. Jesus, you started this, and by God, by your Holy Spirit, God, you want us to continue to do what Jesus started. And so when I think about the fact that, man, I cannot believe and I cannot think that I can accomplish God's will in the natural without the Holy Spirit's help, without the Holy Spirit's leading, without the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it that way. I got a better way. I cannot accomplish God's desire in the natural. If you believe that or if you think that, you've been deceived. Because you can't do it in the natural. Today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And if you put slide one, please. Pentecost Sunday. And the word Pentecost is, and I have this calendar behind me because I have Easter highlighted in purple. And then I have Pentecost Sunday highlighted in red. Now, if you look, it's 7 full weeks. Now, how many days are in a week? 7. So, 7 full weeks. There's 7 days in a week. Let's see if you use your fingers, use somebody else's fingers. That's 49 days. Then you add one day. That's 50. Pentecost means 50. And here, Pentecost, as it was happening in Jerusalem, and when the disciples were in the upper room because Jesus instructed them to stay in Jerusalem, do not depart, do not leave, but wait for the promise of the Father, they waited, and they prayed, and they waited. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And so during this time, it was a Jewish festival called the Festival of Weeks, or Shuat. I guess that's, I'm pronouncing it correctly. Shuat. And so a Festival of Weeks. And this is when God sent his Holy Spirit to those who obeyed Christ. To those who were faithful to Christ because they obeyed what Christ said. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, I know I'm going to put myself in this, but I know I'm going to put myself in this boat. After about 5 days of waiting, I probably would have got a little impatient and left. Anybody join me in that boat? All right, there's about 4 of us who are, everybody else is patient, okay? All right, I'm playing. But anyway, I would put myself in that boat, but they obeyed Christ. And because of obeying Christ and faithful to what Jesus, to Jesus' instructions, they were empowered to be bold witnesses for Christ. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, as I challenged the Sunday school this morning, was just to point out that, listen, if you are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can I just encourage you to just pray it, put your prayer this way. God, I want all that you have for me. All that you have for me today, God, I want it all. And I surrender my life to you. May that be a daily prayer. That God, I want all that you have. Whatever you want to do in my life today, I want to step aside and surrender so that you can use me. Use my hands, Lord. Use my mouth. Use my feet. Lord, touch my heart, Lord. And see if there's any way that you can use me. God, use me. I want to be used. See, because God is still today desires to use faithful and obedient men and women of God to do what? To reveal his message. What's his message? Jesus saves and gives everlasting life. There's no other name under heaven where we can be saved. Not John, not Mike, not Tim. No, no other name but the name of Jesus where we can receive salvation and have everlasting life. What's another message of God? That God restores and makes all things new. How many of you are glad that he makes all things new? I'm a new creature in Christ. I am so thankful that I'm not the old Rick. Or that my family would know me as Ricky. I mean, I'm not the old person that I used to be. Thank God. Why? Because God makes things all new. Another message of God is that his Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit living leads to life. Holy Spirit living leads to life. Romans chapter 8. For those of you who are taking notes, just right there. Romans chapter 8 and read chapter 8. You'll find out that living by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will fulfill the desire of God, which brings life. And another message that I'm just going to point out today is the fact that Jesus is returning for his church. I'm not sure how many of you are ready, but I hope that you're ready, that if it was to happen right now, the rapture. Nobody was sleeping, that's good. All right, so if it was to happen right now, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, that we, that the dead in Christ will rise first when Jesus comes back for his church, for his bride, without spot or wrinkle. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will be caught up together with the Lord to forever be with the Lord. And we'll be caught up together with the Lord in the air. He's not going to go knock on your house, knock on your door. He's not going to come knocking on my door at 160 Woodhaven. In a twinkling of an eye, it says it's going to happen so fast. You're not going to have enough time to, oh, wait, God, let me take care of this. Okay, no, oh, Father, I pray. You're not going to have enough time to do that. That's why we have to be ready now. Be ready now. And so Jesus is returning for his church. And a lot of people don't know that. Now, it's kind of weird, but today, Pentecost Sunday, we're going to read in Daniel chapter 3. I know it's not a passage of scripture that you would normally read. And I'm going to read verse 1 and you can stand for the reading of the word and I'll pray and then you can be seated. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. How many of you would like to name your kid Nebuchadnezzar? We're going to call him King Neb. All right, Nebuchadnezzar, you raised your hand, Jacob. We're going to hold you to it. You got to better name your kid, first kid, Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits. And my Bible notes, it says 90 feet high, 90 feet wide. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Father, we come to you. Lord, in this world, there are a lot of images being erected, trying to take our attention off of you and put it on those images. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit begins to speak to all of us, begins to reveal what images we are worshiping, what images we're putting first, what images or what things in this world that we are putting before you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit reveals to us so that we can demolish and knock those images and knock those idols down, because God, you are the one. You are the only one worthy to be number one in our lives, to be our supreme authority. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit speaks to us through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Nebuchadnezzar, he makes a gold image. And now we're not going to read the whole chapter. Again, if you're taking notes, read Daniel chapter 3, chapter 4, and for this story here. And so let's just drop down to verse 4, Daniel 4, verses 4 through 6, or Daniel 3, verse 4 through 6. So a herald was cried out loud, and it was a command. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages in Babylon, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Let me just ask you, just by raising your hand, is there a song, maybe from a song a long time ago, you haven't heard it in a long time? All you got to do is hear the first couple of tunes first couple bars of that song and your feet start tapping. Or maybe you start, you know, and you start singing it. Maybe you have the lyrics. All right, so this is what was supposed to happen. At the time that they heard a song, and it was a specific song in symphony, they should fall down and worship this gold image, 90 feet high, 90 feet wide, that King Nebuchadnezzar had ordered to be set up. Verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately. Everyone say immediately. Immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And that wasn't a fake fairy tale furnace. This was a real deal. Let's drop down to verse 12 through 14. There are certain Jews. Now, some of the troublemakers of King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, hey, King Neb, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, a couple other names I would never name my kids this, but these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before him. So they brought these men before the king. King Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Let's drop down to verse 16. These three young Hebrew men said, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They got some guts. No, they have a God. They have a God that they believe in, and they have a God that they serve. And let's find out why I say that. Verse 17, it says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. In the face of adversity, how bold is your faith in your God? In difficult trials that you go through, how strong and staunch are you in knowing who the God of Abraham, Isaac, your God and Jacob? How confident are you in who he is and what he has said, that in the face of adversity, a burning, fiery furnace, you would say, I am not bowing down to anything, sorry, but my God will rescue me. And they said, we believe that God, our God, will deliver us from your hand. Verse 18, this is really cool and it just really gets me. These three Hebrew young men said, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I mean, I've seen all kinds of, shoot 'em up, fight 'em kind of movies, Bruce Lee movies, Rocky movies, or whatever. I mean, I've seen all these movies before, and this is just the epitome of what this dude, these guys are bad. In the face of adversity, a burning fiery furnace, they say, our God will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, think about that phrase. But even if you just said that your God will deliver you, but you're still staunch in your faith, you're still solid in your faith that if he doesn't. You see, Jesus says that he comes to give us life and life more abundantly. He comes to give us eternal life. How many of you are living hunky-dory, yellow brick road kind of lives? None of us are. We have difficulty. We have trouble. But you know what? We can stand on God's word and say, regardless of what trouble I'm going through, my God will deliver me. My God will provide. My God will be with me. He even says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But if I have to go through this situation one more day, one more week, one more year, I will still worship and serve Almighty God. That's where we ought to be. And if you're not there today, I just encourage you to say, God, I want to get there. I want to be that to whatever situation I'm going through. God, I am holding on to your word and I'm standing with you that even if you choose not to come help me out, even if I'm on the side of 95 with a flat tire and my spare, it's not even in there. God, I'm still going to stand on you and not cuss at anybody out that won't stop and help me. God, I'm still going to hold on to you that even though I'm having a horrible day, God, today is the day that you have made. I will, what does it say? I will choose to rejoice and to be glad in him. Such an encouraging passage here, we find that they are in front of a furnace, and even if God doesn't deliver them, they say, we will still not bow down. That is faithfulness to a God that they believe in, and this God is real. We're talking about faithfulness this month and how this is what God is desiring to find us, to be faithful. that we would be found faithful stewards of what he's given and entrusted to us. That's not just finances. That's the people that you live with. That's the people in your neighborhood. That's the life that God has given you. Will you be found faithful? Verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression in his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times. Than it usually was. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And I like this because God's protecting his own. And King Nebuchadnezzar told them to throw them in. And so these men who casted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw them in there. They, because the fire was so hot, they caught on fire and died. Verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, "Hey, wait a minute. Did we not just throw 3 people in there? Why do we see 4? And the 4th one, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Again, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a fable. This is true. This is reality. This is what happened. It's a wonderful thing when we are found faithful that God is always there with us. My first point today is God's Holy Spirit is faithful to teach and lead us in truth. Go to slide 2, please. Anybody ever seen this or been there? You know what that is? It's a geyser in Yellowstone National Park. Old Faithful. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things, but I didn't actually know that. You see that the cement, that's a path. That's how close you can get there. You can't get any closer than that, right? So I'm just going to read a couple of things about good old Faithful. Discovered in 1870 by the Washburn Expedition, Old Faithful Geyser was named for its frequent and somewhat predictable eruptions, which number more than 1 million since Yellowstone became the world's first national park in 1872. Basic prediction of Old Faithful is dependent upon the duration of the previous eruption. So however it previously erupted, whenever it did, you can go ahead and set your clock and have an idea of when it's going to erupt again. During visitor center hours, geyser statistics and predictions are maintained by the naturalist staff, and it's a mathematical average between eruptions of currently 74 minutes. But it doesn't like to act average. Intervals can range from 60 to 110 minutes. So when the geyser shoots up water, okay, and all that steam, you can bet that from 60 to 110 minutes, it's going to do it again. And it's been doing that since 1872. That's faithful. That's why they gave the name Old Faithful. It just you can bet on a certain time it's going to shoot out. Now, scientists estimate that the amount of water ranges from 3,700 gallons of water during a short duration of shooting out, which would probably occur 1.5 minutes, 1.5 minutes. Or if it takes four and a half minutes of shooting that water out, because that's what happens sometimes, it's estimated that 8,400 gallons of water shoots out of there, out of that hole. During an eruption, the water temperature at the vent has been measured at 204 degrees Fahrenheit. This is the reason why you can't get any closer. The steam temperature has been measured above 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Anybody ever get burned by steam? You got a pot and you reach over, because you're not thinking right. You reach over and the steam gets you. Yeah, that's happened to me many times. I mean, this is 350 degrees Fahrenheit. But it's not the temperature of the water, it's not how high it goes, it's not how much water. The interesting thing, or the important thing, is that it's known as Old Faithful because it's faithfully erupting. I want to be known as faithful because whenever situations arise, or it just every single day, my faithfulness is to God, not into my emotions, not into situations, not even to other people, not even my wife, but to God and his word. I want to be faithful. You see, the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach you if you're listening. Holy Spirit is faithful to lead you if you'll surrender and follow where he wants to go. The Holy Spirit is better than any GPS because he leads us to every location where we find truth. He's better than any GPS. Holy Spirit is better than any, I'm going to get some of you. Some of you are not going to know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit is faithful and better than any Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, some of you younger ones will understand and know what this one is. Holy Spirit is faithful and better than any Alexa or Hey Google. Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Now, Alexa might have some good facts for you, but Alexa, you even try to ask Alexa who Jesus Christ is, and she's not going to tell you the truth. So the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And you know what? The remarkable, the amazing, the wonderful thing is that he's faithful. He does it all the time. Jesus says in John chapter 14, let's go there in the New Living Translation, verse 15 through 17 of John 14. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's a lot of good things in there. I wish you would, I pray that you would underline and catch. You see, the Holy Spirit has purpose. He's a helper. I've said this before, God doesn't make any junk. And there was a man from Jacksonville a long time ago, he would come up, he would sing this song, God don't make no junk. Now, that's probably not good grammar, but God doesn't make any junk. And whatever God makes has purpose. I'm still trying to figure out what the purpose is of gnats. But God makes things, and I mean, trees and animals. And God has a purpose for every single thing. The Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, will abide. This is an awesome thing. Luke Skywalker always had his lightsaber on his side. Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Holy Spirit abides with me, not by my side, but with me. And that's a wonderful thing, because I mean, even if, how many of you ever left your keys or your wallet at home? It's a wonderful thing that I don't ever have to leave home and say, oh, where's Holy Spirit? He's always with me. He's always leading me. He's always guiding me. He's my Spirit of truth. He's God's Spirit of truth, and he is a Spirit that leads me and teaches me. The world, it says the world doesn't know anything about him. The world can't receive him. The world can't see. The world can't know. It was an interesting thing. I walked into the Stars classroom today, and they had on their dry erase board, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And if you want to put that up, please. I thought that was really interesting because it kind of goes along with some of these verses that I'm going to share with you. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. This is the reason why the world doesn't understand the Spirit of God or the spiritual things of God. Somebody comes into church, doesn't have a lick of knowledge of God. God's Holy Spirit will begin to give them revelation. They won't understand the deep things of God, but God will open their eyes and allow them to see you need Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I don't have Jesus. Well, you need to do something about it. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. You need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and the Bible says you shall be saved. So the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God. And so the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to us. This is a great indication that living in the natural or primarily by the flesh or by emotions makes it impossible to accomplish God's desire for our lives. We can come into church today and have a cry fest and just, oh, that was so good. And the song was so great. But if nothing on the inside changes, it was just an emotional roller coaster you just experienced. If you did not deny yourself and turn 180 away from your sinful life and come to know Jesus Christ, it was just an emotional roller coaster. But the one thing is true, you'll leave this building, and the Holy Spirit, maybe 2 in the afternoon, maybe 2 a.m., he'll knock on your heart and begin to speak to you and remind you what you heard today. Why? Because the Holy Spirit leads every person into truth. The Holy Spirit leads every person to Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, the Holy Spirit, give him some time. Don't fight him. He'll reveal God's truth to you. Make sure that you place yourself in a position to be taught by Holy Spirit. Make sure that you surrender for the Spirit to lead you into God's truth. Plainly speaking, quit living on your own. Quit living by your own set of rules. When we are to live by the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth. And just say, God, I need your help. Go to the next slide, please. I think it's slide 3. We just need to say, God, help. This is a great body posture when you need help from God. Just bow down to your knees and say, God, I need help. Call out to him. This is a position of humility right here. Especially if you're a man, because we don't like to ask for help. If you're lost, well, I'll find a way out of here. I'll find a way back on the interstate. No. Just ask God for help. Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. Now, that word prudent is prudence. It means the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Now, let me just stop there. I cannot reason the things of God on my own. I need the Holy Spirit. Brian touched on this morning. We can't go by reasoning, by us rationalizing and reasoning in our minds. We're going to miss the boat. How many of you ever missed the bus? Anybody missed a bus before? It don't feel good, because now you got to wait 30 minutes for the next bus. You can miss when God wants you to move. You can miss what God's saying to you, all because you're trying to rationalize stuff and reason within your mind when the spiritual things aren't understood in the natural. So quit living on your own. Quit living by your own set of rules. So it says the prudent acquires knowledge. The word acquire, it means to come into possession, to get, to receive. So if I am disciplined and I govern by God's Holy Spirit, I will acquire the things that God wants to give me. And the last part of that verse says, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Why does it say that? Because your ears are open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say. I'm not sure, I'm not telling you guys to do this, but if you do this and just close your ears and you start talking, you hear yourself a whole lot louder. And when you close your ears, you can't hear anybody else. You don't want to hear anybody else, so you therefore you close your ears. But when you close your ears, you hear yourself louder than anything around you. That's not what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants us to surrender so that he can teach us and show us and lead us into truth. That's why we need to remain humble before God. We need to remain humble before God so that we do not allow our knowledge. Some of you guys know some stuff. You've been through college. You've been through experiences. You've been there, done that. You know, and you got the t-shirt, and you know how to do things. But you know what? That knowledge can puff you up. Nobody needs to teach you. Nobody needs to show you. Nobody needs to tell you how to raise your kids. Nobody needs to tell you how to be a husband or be a wife, because you know all of that. You've been there. Well, that kind of mentality and attitude gets you a big head. And having a big head, the Holy Spirit can't lead you through any doors that God wants to take you. It's important that we remain humble. Now, slide five, please. I kind of messed up, but slide five. Some of you are going to know what the picture on the left is. And some of you, how many of you experienced the Board of Education? Raise your hand proudly. Yeah. Yeah, our principal in junior high, his was plastic and it had holes in it. So it was so that, you know, aerodynamics, right? I always tell people, my mom, she's here, but she never used, I don't think she ever used a chancla. That's a sandal. I remember she would use her hand. She had a hand of steel. But anyway, I was just a spoiled little brat. My sister would testify. But I was a spoiled little brat. But, you know, this brings me to point two. God's Holy Spirit is faithful to correct us with truth. It's a messed up thing when you get people correcting you with lies. You're both in the same boat and you go nowhere. But when we're corrected with God's truth, we learn. If we're humble, we learn and we grow. Shannon mentioned this on Wednesday. If we allow the Spirit of God to teach us and to correct us, we grow in a deeper relationship with God. We grow in our relationship as a Christian and a believer in Christ. And so it's important that we allow the Spirit to teach us. So we can learn something from these three Hebrew young men. Let's go back to that. Daniel chapter 3, verse 26. We can learn from these three Hebrew men, and that we are to remain obedient and faithful to God regardless what stands in our way. What gets me is that their determination to surrender and honor God. You know what? We're going to find out here. It changed the life of that king, even if it was for a short period of time, and it changed what was happening in the land. So just think about this. Think about this. Your faithfulness to God has the ability to change your boss's mind on certain things and your workplace. Has the ability to change the mind if you know the mayor of the city or town. Has the ability to impact the life of that mayor and then how some of the things work in that city or town. Because this is what happened with King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Now again, remember, he threw in three. How many did he see inside? Four. And so saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then they walked from the midst of the fire. Verse 27, and the satraps, administrators, governors, all the king's, you know, busybodies and nosy leaders, they all saw these men on whose bodies, and I want you to underline this if you're following along, on whose bodies the fire had no power. Being obedient to the Father would cause us to be in a position or a place where the natural elements and the natural things won't even affect us. I want to walk in that. I want to be there. I'm not sure about you, but if I'm the only one, then I'm the only one. But I want to walk in that. That the natural things that would normally happen, anybody ever burn themselves? Anybody ever singe their eyebrows? I mean, it's not a good feeling. You're thinking, oh, you know, I'm so, it's not a good feeling. But imagine these three young men, the fire did not affect them. The fire had no power. It says the hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Just a couple of days ago, I was talking to my sister, and we were reminiscing. Those of you that remember fundraising, those boxes of popcorn, the packages with the little small side had the oil, and the other side had the popcorn. My go-to guys were the four old retirees that lived right next door. I would go in there and I'd try to get them to sell. You know, I would sell a lot from them. But you walked into their house, it was like a fog machine had just gone on. I mean, they're smoking stale, nasty cigarettes. But you walk in there, you walk out, and you smell like smoke. These guys didn't smell like smoke. Not a single hair on them was singed. Here, the power of the fire was not upon them. They didn't experience the natural effects of a fire. Their garments weren't even affected. They didn't even smell like smoke, like fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies." He wouldn't have said this if they broke. He wouldn't have said this if they said, you know what? Yeah, that fire's pretty hot. Yeah, I don't want to go in there. All right, well, all we got to do is just bow our heads, right? Yeah. All right, let's just tell them we'll go. No, they didn't do that. They were faithful to the God that they served, and they believed in the God that they served. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. So now he's changing something. Make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be not thrown into the fiery furnace, but shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. So now it's time to turn off the furnace, and now it's whoever talks against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, they're going to get cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other. All of this because three young men were committed, determined to be faithful to a living God. And what about us? Now, let me just throw this to you. The Holy Spirit was not given to them because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. We now have the Spirit of the living God. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What is our excuse? What is our excuse when we're gone? The only thing I could come up with is I get a yellow stripe that comes up. Or yellow or white? Yellow. I get a yellow stripe that comes up because I get scared sometimes. But the reason why I get scared sometimes is because I forget what he said. I forget that I got to stand on what God's word says. So when I go before something or something comes up against me, if I don't remember what he said and stand on it, I end up having that yellow stripe just trying to go up my back. And then I get scared. And then, of course, I don't do what God's wanting me to do. I'm just being honest with you. Our faithfulness corrects the lives of others. And here, King Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind about worshiping this 90-foot high, 90-foot wide golden image. Now he's saying, God is the one who is to be focused. God is the one, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is to be worshipped. And if anybody says anything negative about their God, I will cut into pieces. What a wonderful time when we are faithful to God and to his word and to his instruction, that he becomes the center and focus of worship. Just like what we did earlier in praise and worship. How many times has God sent his Holy Spirit to correct you? And what was your response? What was your reaction? I've heard him say, Rick, it's not all about you. Anybody? Rick, it's not all about you. Rick, there's a big picture going on. Rick, just calm down, be quiet, and just let me show you what I'm about to do. And those times of correcting. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, and that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down on these people? I mean, come on, we're knuckleheads. This is Jesus trying to give new life. He's speaking about giving life and life abundantly, but they see that this town of Samaritans aren't receiving Jesus, so their reaction in the natural. You want us to call fire to come down on them from heaven and consume them, just like Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Just when you thought that you were doing something right and the other people were wrong, maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, listen, you're the one in the wrong because you're not really caring about them and I love them. And you're probably saying, God, send fire on them. Let something bad happen to them because they did this or they did that or they burnt my grass or they whatever. Many times we have to be corrected by Holy Spirit because it's not about us. It's about God and what God wants to do. See, I would rather be rebuked and corrected by the Holy Spirit than a room full of people. How about you? Because a room full of people might correct me according to their likes and, you know, emotions and dislikes. I want to be corrected by truth, Spirit of truth. So far, we've seen that Holy Spirit is faithful to teach, lead, and correct us with God's truth. He does this every day because the Father sends him and instructs him to do so. My last point is God's Holy Spirit is faithful to empower us to reveal God's truth. Just that what I was saying, Luke 4, 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon every believer to do those things. I challenge you, memorize that, read it, put it on an index card, tape it to your rearview mirror so that you see it every day when you're driving to and from work. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of God is in you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Go to my last slide, please. The Holy Spirit is in us. What is God's truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32, there are a lot of people that are bound by sin. They are arrested, handcuffed to sin, and they need to be set free. And we who are believers in Christ, who have the living truth, the Spirit of truth inside of us, we need to make his gospel, his message known so that people who are lost would be set free. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Who is he hearing it from? God the Father. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I also said it earlier. Whatever God has for us, whatever he wants to give us, don't consider it as something as, well, I really don't want it, because we don't deserve anything that God gives us. Even the air we're breathing right now, we don't deserve it. None of us should have woken up this morning because of our sin, but because of his love, because of his desire that he does not want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance so that we may have eternal life with Jesus Christ. God's desire is for all of us to receive what he freely wants to give and bestow on us. So today, you find yourself a little empty. I don't really have a lot to offer. God, I really don't have much. I don't, but God, I want all that you have for me today. Tomorrow, or yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come for me because tomorrow, we're not promised for tomorrow. But today, God, I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm here, God. I'm in your house today. God, whatever you want to do in my life, I surrender my life to you, God. Whatever you want to give to me, God, Lord, I want to receive. And I want to receive it open hands. Lord, open arms. God, I want to receive all that you have for me. Let that be your prayer today. Jesus was quoted in Acts chapter 1. He says that he gave the instruction. And he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We cannot be witnesses of Jesus on our own. It doesn't happen in the natural. It needs to be done in the supernatural. It needs to be done in the spirit. So he says that Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, the other end of the earth. Now some might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, hold on. Jesus was saying that to the disciples. My quick response is, do you mean to tell me there's nobody else that needs to be saved? There's nobody else that needs to come to the Father to know Jesus? There's a lot of people that need to know Jesus. So therefore, we need to be bold witnesses for Christ. So Pentecost Sunday isn't a sci-fi fable. It's not it was on this day that the movement of proclaiming the gospel would begin. And those who were believers, who are faithful, obedient to God, God desires to use them. So it does continue today to seek first God and his kingdom and to learn how to be a faithful steward, how to be a faithful servant of God. See, I don't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to correct you, and to empower you to be a witness for him.